coming up.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Kev O'Dunny with Julian Troiello and Ben Starr. Back with you with the positive mind. Sorry, I missed my cue there, Ben. Bringing you some ideas, concepts, and guests try and help you lead a more positively minded life. Welcome back. And, you know, tomorrow is back to school. And, you know, we've been trying to focus and talk about topics that you can notice in yourself and in your children. Because we started this all off with talking about shyness. And then we talked about attachment theory and whether you have a secure bond with your nurturing parent. And then we talked about the importance of play and getting play into your life. And so with school coming back tomorrow, we want you to be armed and available and ready to understand your child a little and understand if you have a shy child and how you can nip that in the bud really, really early. Because as we talked about shyness, we recognize that shyness can be a trap. It can become a bad habit. It's not necessarily natural. Children are born to be playful and to be out there exploring the world. And you really want to create a child and help a child develop in being an explorer. So if they're starting back to school and within a month you're getting feedback from the teacher that your child is withdrawn, your child is quiet, your child stays to themselves, your child doesn't play in groups, okay, nothing to panic over. But it's important to get that information early in the school year, especially if it's a young child, because you want to break them out of this really trap. Shyness is a real trap. And there are things we talked about that you can do about that, and we might recap some of that as we go along today. But we wanted to add another twist to today's topic because, you know, play is also something that we tried to address for adults to do, not just for kids, but for adults. And we recognized yesterday that Americans are just not playing enough.
Right. There's a lot of work and very little play, or at least a lot of less pleasure found in work and leading to overworking, workaholism, and lack of feeling in general.
And that box that we talked about, work, play, love, and learning, a lot of people emailed us telling us that their work life is between 60 and 80% of their life. Okay, so there's a visual for you, a 60% that you're working at something. And yesterday we had this lovely woman, Michelle, called in, and she has an 18-month-old. And I said to her, Michelle, you're working all the time. And she is. If you have an 18-month-old, you're working all the time as a mother, if you're the principal caretaker. You're working all the time, but she has this outlet with her husband on the weekends of playing with her husband. She has a great mate that she goes and does these things with. So maybe Michelle can call us in today and tell us how much she's playing with her husband, what percentage. But we want to get back to this idea of shyness and the things that you can do to interrupt it by going an extra step. In psychology, we have this term called introversion and extroversion. And it's just, you know, a label that people, most adults, can recognize in themselves. I'm an introvert or I'm an extrovert. And the truth is, neither one is better than the other. Each one has their own difficult experiences. Each one has their highlight experiences. And we want to talk about the pitfalls and the triumphs of each type of introverts and extroverts. Let's take a sample. Ben, are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I tend to be an extrovert. But I love what you said, Kevin, about the importance of recognizing a shy or withdrawn child, especially a younger child. Because when we spoke about shyness a few weeks ago, we talked about the lasting consequences of shy behavior or the withdrawn personality type, right? The pitfalls, not through childhood, adolescence, and into adulthood.
Yeah.
And they are real. You know, there's a very real risk for the shy person to have a lack of socialization, to experience much more crushing loneliness, mm-hmm. to eventually, in older ages, turn to drugs and alcohol
yep.
and risk-seeking behavior.
Yep.
And further down the line, and as an adult in the workforce, to be overlooked, right? Overlooked mm-hmm. in the workplace, overlooked for that promotion, you know, yeah. overlooked in general. So we want to make sure that we can help people understand that and live their best lives, be their best selves. But yeah, it's like you said, Kevin, I don't think that, you know, I happen to be an extrovert in many ways, but I don't think that it's, look, all introverts aren't necessarily shy.
True.
I think we get
absolutely
that.
Not.
I think we
no.
get that.
I'm glad yeah, not at all. They're
I'm
very,
glad
very
you brought that up
things.
Right at the beginning. It's really critical.
We mentioned that, I think, a bit during our shyness program.
Yeah.
But, the big difference is that shyness tends to come from social anxiety, while introverts just prefer to be on their own. They prefer, and they actually, we'll talk more about this, recharge on their own.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's no anxiety necessarily if you're an introvert
right.
and you're at a group, you know, and you're at a party or something.
Right.
But if you're shy, there can be a lot of anxiety.
Right. And you can be a shy extrovert. You can be someone who's afraid or shy of social experiences and has social anxiety
mm-hmm.
and yet want to spend a lot of time with new people, meet new people, be surrounded by a lot of stimulus,
mm.
and yet have this sort of contradicting shyness. So shyness
yeah.
is just a separate trait that comes
right.
along.
The extrovert is typically an active doer type.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know, shyness doesn't necessarily play a role there. You can still be an active doer type and be shy.
Right.
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 Exactly.
Right.
But let's you know, since we're just at the beginning of our program today, let's just sort of generally define what introverts and extroverts are. I think everybody sort of knows and has heard this term, and sort of I bet our listeners probably have a label for themselves of which one they are.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But let's go through.
I think it's important to get this concept out there first, a positive
yeah.
mind concept about arousal, because what we think of as introverts and extroverts is this seeking arousal. And it's actually that introverts are highly aroused people. They're very alert.
Right. And when we talk about arousal, we're not really just talking about sexual
of
arousal.
Of course.
We're
not.
Talking
no,
about stimulation.
Alertness.
We're talking about
mental arousal.
Sensorial stimulation,
right.
mental arousal. I mean, we're talking about all kinds of sensuality. You know?
Right.
And so the introverts tend to want to be less
stimulated.
They want to be stimulated
because they have all this arousal going on. I don't need anything more.
Right.
You know?
And then the extroverts, on the other hand,
are low arousal, and they're constantly looking outward for
right.
stimulus to counter their low arousal.
Right, and you would think, I think logically, normally you'd be, oh, extroverts are very stimulated. They like stimulation.
Exactly.
They want to be there. They want to be overwhelmed. But it's
they're frantically seeking it.
They're seeking it constantly. And then actually that
yeah.
moment
yeah.
when you don't have stimulation anymore and you are an extrovert, go, oh, my God, I'm so bored. Or, oh, my God, I'm
That's
scared.
Right.
Oh, my God, I'm
yeah.
alone.
Yeah.
And you go, I need to go outside.
Exactly.
I need to go to a bar. I need to go to a party. I need to go meet some
people. I need to go where the action is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a sort of spectrum here, and it's not just one or the other. You know, if you've been calling yourself an introvert your whole life, there's potentially you have, you know, some extrovert tendencies in your body, and you can know, there's also sort of a middle place.
Yeah, they call it
an ambivert. Yeah,
you're
an
both.
Ambivert. And it's not everybody, and there are people, but those people who tend to say, well, you know, I do really like being alone, and I really appreciate that time, and I don't feel anxious when I'm alone, but I also really like being with people and having new experiences, and I'm constantly going back and forth between both of those,
right.
you tend to be an ambivert.
Yeah.
The extrovert is pretty much never at a loss for words, right?
Right.
The extrovert is very gregarious,
right.
very chatty, very talkative, right? Conversation is something that comes naturally.
Yeah.
Right.
Interaction is something that comes naturally. And I think the benefit of that, guys, is that it becomes beneficial, and it becomes something that helps the extrovert in making friends, in new situations, in getting jobs.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Think about
charismatic.
The extrovert in a job interview is going to do very well, generally, by and large.
Right.
Often, because they'll be selling themselves. And
right.
introverts tend to withdraw and not so much sell themselves. They want to be what you see is what you get. Who, you know, I don't really want to, you know, color who you see by telling you more and more about me, whereas the extrovert is very natural in a job interview situation.
Right.
But I want to also say why this is important, why people should know whether they're an introvert or extrovert. And like anything else, it's like when you know what type you are, you can tend to be more compassionate with yourself. And also you can find out what would be a good compliment to who I am. If you're a very introverted type person, okay, it'd be useful for you to know that going to a nightclub is not something you're ever going to enjoy. Right. You might know this already.
That's going to be a task. That's going to be something that you're choosing to do to fight the challenging natural tendency for yourself. Yeah. You know,
totally. A total downer, right? Whereas the extrovert, especially the sensorial type extrovert,
it's the best thing you could do.
It's like they don't need to talk. They can just go there and wide-eyed sensorial attention and take everything in the environment.
Absolutely.
And so when you know who you are, you can know, A, how to be more compassionate or understanding towards yourself if you, you know, go to an extreme on a certain period of time or a certain season of the year. And B, what can compliment you? Like if you're an introvert, it'd be great to find an extrovert to be a friend.
Absolutely.
Right. Because the introvert might appreciate just sitting there and listening and experiencing some, you know, exciting talk and experience with one person, while the extrovert goes, I can talk forever here.
Yeah,
and
this
person really loves listening to me. Yeah.
Yeah, they can be play complementary roles in a friendship with, you know, the introvert providing some of that quiet deliberation, you know, and the extrovert being the fun and exciting person that, you know, that the introvert might need in their life.
Of course.
Yeah, and another really big difference that I think is going to be exciting for our listeners here is that when you talk about ways of thinking and ways of speaking, extroverts, you can almost always say that an extrovert will be speaking and then thinking. So they're speaking to think
in a
lot of ways.
Yeah. Thinking out loud.
Thinking out loud.
Sure.
So, you know, if you have that friend of yours or you yourself need to go to lunch so you can figure out what's going on, you keep asking a lot of people for their opinions. You need to say how you feel out loud to really understand what's going on. You're probably tending towards the extroverted side. Meanwhile, as an introvert, you tend to say, okay, let me think about this for like an hour, or let me go through this thing in my head, all the possibilities, and then I'm going to say what I want to say.
It's very interesting.
I love the distinction.
Yeah. So the introvert's more likely to seek quiet time, quiet reflection and introspection to gather their thoughts.
Or perhaps in a relationship, you know, you're talking to an extrovert is arguing with an introvert. You say, tell me how you feel. And they go, I can't tell you right now. I need to think about this for a second. I'll get back to you in like 15 minutes, you know. Give me a moment. While the extrovert will go, I'm feeling this and this and this and this, and that one wasn't really true, but this one is, and you know what? I figured it out. That's what it is. And you need to speak for an hour. You need to say it out loud and bounce it off the wall and bounce it off somebody else so you can really figure out what's going on inside.
I also like this distinction in introversion, extroversion, this concept of recharging.
Yeah.
That, you know, who you might be, whether you're one or the other, do you need to go by yourself and recharge?
Right.
You need to get away from people in order to recharge, replenish, rejuvenate,
revive. When we talk about recharge, there's different ways for recharging for each of these types.
There really is. And typically, you know, introverts will go into themselves and into a book or into their artwork or their creativity to replenish and rejuvenate.
Right.
And extroverts will recharge by reaching out, picking up the phone, going onto the internet, going on Facebook, connecting with people.
Right.
So I think we want to talk about arousal and recharging your battery in terms of introversion and extrovert. And finally, how about your child? Is your child an introvert or an extrovert at this point? Neither one is better than the other. Neither one is highly prized. Neither one is more successful than the other.
Right.
There are plenty of hugely successful introverts.
Yeah.
But we hear a lot about, you know, especially in American culture, successful extroverts, you know, the basso profundo people out there really in the media, in the arts, in the government, who are really making a statement and really being loud.
Right. Well, the extroverts tend to be loud, and then the introverts tend to go somewhat unnoticed unless you look for them. And you realize that these are the silent creators, the silent inventors, the people that aren't talking about what they're doing, they're just doing it.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And you're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City or on the iTunes Store and our podcast just called The Positive Mind. And I'm Julian Joiello. We're here with Ben Starr and Kevin O'Donohue, and we're going to be taking your calls all day today talking about introversion, extroversion, and everything in between. Give us a call at 212-757-5555, and we want to hear from you how you label yourself.
Yeah.
if you're an introvert or an extrovert, how you label yourself, why you think so, and sort of we want to talk about that. We want to explore that.
I'm an introvert, and I know I'm an introvert because as soon as I wake up, I'm trying to quiet the world.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to minimize stimulation from the world and feel myself and hear my own thinking.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily – I don't reach out to people early in the day. So I feel like I'm an introvert. Do you like your own thoughts?
Right. I mean, it's
– I would say based on what you guys have described as the introversion tendencies – that the introvert is less likely, or more likely, rather, to like their own thoughts.
Yeah.
Whereas the extrovert, seeking the external stimuli, seeking, you know, interest and excitement elsewhere, may be running from their thoughts.
I think they might be, or they might be running to try and catch up with their thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to actualize the thoughts that they have in the real world.
Yes, and if you were listening on WBAI, we may have just lost you for an emergency alert, but we are back here online, and we would love to hear from your calls, 212-757-5555.
Oh, they were doing one of those testing things?
757-5555. Yeah, I'm not totally sure but I heard from one of our people that we lost you just for a second. But we're back here with The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM in New York City. And yes, we're talking about introverts and extroverts and ambiverts. And we would love to hear from our listeners, and perhaps also dealing with, if you are an introvert, how do you deal with going out and social situations? What do you do in those social situations when you feel the need to go out or someone's pressuring you to go out? What do you want to do? And on the other side, if you're an extrovert, what do you do when you're alone?
Kevin, how long does it take you to determine when you have a new client walk in, sits down in your office with you? How long does it take you to determine, is this person an introvert or an extrovert? And how important is that to how you're going to approach what you do with them?
That's a great question. 3 minutes,
or
less.
Yeah.
Yes, you can tell. I mean, you can tell pretty quickly if somebody's an introvert or an extrovert. It is a spectrum. So you can – just the way they said, I mean, the way they speak, what they talk about, what they're excited by, all these factors really indicate – whether they're an introvert or an extrovert. It's helpful to me because I don't want to limit an introvert from being an introvert. And I don't want to limit an extrovert from being – if they get their joy in life, their pleasure in life by reading books or recharging by themselves or listening to music or doing things, you know, by themselves, if that's not a problem for somebody, you know, I'm not interested in exploring it. It's only the areas where I'm an introvert but I really need to connect with people. Mm. Or I'm an extrovert and people say I'm overbearing, you know, and that's okay. Let's look at that. Let's see, you know, what's the acceptable part of your inclination and what's the problematic part. But you can tell pretty quickly, Ben, you know. And just like in the Enneagram, I mean, eights are very noticeable right away. You can tell an eight very quickly. And oftentimes eights tend to be extroverts.
Right.
So how do you change how you interact with someone or talk to them or relate to them based on whether you perceive them to be introvert or extrovert?
Well, if you're an extrovert, for instance, I'll let you lead. Frequently, I'll let you lead the session.
And just listen.
And not, you know, but my interventions and my interruptions are timed.
Less prodding.
Yeah. Whereas introverts want to be drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then I'll be much more active. And really suggest things that might be stimulating. Where do you get your charge from?
And it just can't help. I can't help but think about how can I and how can we then apply this to just our normal relationships, right? Our families, our friends, our loved ones, our lovers, right? How can we use that knowledge to improve the quality of our interactions and our relationships?
Right. I mean, if you look at an introvert and you are an extrovert and you're going, why can't you just talk to me? Why can't you just explain what's going on? Why can't you spend more time with me? You have to realize that introverts just need their space. They need some space. They need that moment to recharge. Yeah. They can spend all day with you, but they need to go home or they need to go for a walk on their own and have their own time before they can come back and really continue doing that.
So how do we draw the introvert out, Kevin? Because I'm thinking about some specific introverts in my life, and I'd love to have the tools to know how to draw them out of their shell, like you said.
Well, they do like interaction with human beings. I mean, so you know, so it's not a problem to draw them out if you're doing it one-on-one. But if they're in a group of six or seven people, they do not want to be the, you know, focus of attention.
Sure.
Right.
So one-on-one, introverts can actually be more talkative than extroverts.
Absolutely.
And actually more impressionable and more responsive than extroverts. You know, so you won't.
Right, they might tend to open up more than an extrovert will about their heart, about what's actually going on, because they don't really like small talk quite as much.
Yeah, and introverts are known for being in touch with their feelings. They're in touch with their thoughts and their feelings. Mm. Extroverts can be also, but in a different way, in a more objective way.
I think of the extrovert as this sort of grand personality, right? The big, loud.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I think of the introvert as a sort of subdued. More quiet person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, is that...
It's hard to find a noisy or loud or outgoing introvert. So, you know, the broad generalization is, you know, not totally off.
Right.
So...
And we know that introverts are the people who are most upset and disturbed by loud and gregarious people. It's almost, it can be almost abrasive.
Too much stimulation.
Yeah. Right.
It's how do I negotiate this stimulation? This person is over the top. I already have enough going on in my own head, my own body, my own heart. How am I going to handle this person? I need to get away from this kind of person. So, you know, the same thing with going to the nightclub. I can't take in all of these lights and sounds and, you know, thoughts. I need to, you know, lower the stimulation. Get me out of here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's very useful to see. Is your child overstimulated? Is he highly stimulated? And is he taking that stimulation to connect with people, reaching out? Or is he taking that stimulation to retreat and go into themselves? This is important to know at the beginning of a school year. Again, introversion, extroversion is not shyness. But the more you know about your child, the more you can help engage them and really bring out the explorer in your child. That's what we're looking for. Children going back to school who become explorers.
Yeah. Give us a call at 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. We'd love to hear from our listeners about this subject today. It's a really, really interesting one.
And which, you know, what do you have trouble with? If you're an introvert, what do you have trouble with? Are you the last person in the world that will go to a nightclub? Or, you know, are you the last person that will go to a baseball game or a place where there are a lot of people or a live music event? Or, you know, are you someone who can only go where there's a lot of people and there's a chance to talk and a chance to reach out? And what's painful about this? What's painful about being an introvert for you? What's painful about being an extrovert? Or your partner, are they an extrovert or are they an introvert? And what's painful about being with them?
You know, I wonder if there's any relationship between cities and smaller towns and introverts and extroverts. I mean, if extroverts tend to group up into cities and introverts tend to group up in the countryside, you know what I mean?
That's fascinating.
I wonder what would happen if we were to do some research on that.
You almost need to be an extrovert, at least in a city like New York, where there's so much going on. There's so much competition for everything. Mm. That you almost need to be an extrovert just to stand out, to have a chance to stand out.
To have even a chance here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. And we're going to even be speaking more in depth about this subject, talking about different types of introverts and different types of extroverts. There's a lot here. It's a really wide spectrum. And we have some callers coming in. And we're going to get them on the air before we hit our break at 1:30 p.m. here on WBAI 99.5.
How about
FM
I introduce the
City.
Categories of extroverts just to whet people's appetite for where we're going today?
One second. We actually got a call.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Because, you know, you can be an extrovert who's more into their feelings than into their sensations. Go ahead.
Hey, we got Bob on the line. Bob, you there?
Yes, I am. I'm a clinical social worker.
How are you, Bob?
I'm okay. I didn't hear your whole show. I just turned on the last 10 minutes.
Great.
But I think it's important in the discussion of introverts that one also thinks about many introverts having a diagnosable disorder, which would be social anxiety disorder, social phobia.
Yeah.
And I think there's also a lot of introversion in the autistic spectrum. where people would really like to reach out, people would really like to talk with others, to date, various activities like that.
Totally agree with
you. But they don't know how.
Sure.
And I would also say that there are treatments for social anxiety disorder. They're cognitive and behavioral.
Absolutely.
And one could look up the websites of the NIMH, National Institute of Mental Health,
sure.
or the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, which is ADAA.org, and find out about these treatments, perhaps get a referral. You know, it's there's also a very good book. It's an older book called Dying of Embarrassment, which is a cognitive behavioral approach to social anxiety. And we really never know whether introversion is a euphemism for social anxiety disorder unless we flesh the issue out with the person who's sitting in
exactly,
front of
us. Because you wouldn't be saying that everybody who's an introvert suffers from social phobia or social anxiety.
No, of course not. Of course not.
I think it comes down to the square
within,
the square rectangle thing, right? Like that, like all squares are a rectangle, but not all rectangles are square. So people with social anxiety are generally introverts, but not all people who are introverted necessarily deal with social anxiety.
Right, or people with social anxiety are extroverted, but suffering 1,000 deaths every time they have to speak publicly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's generalized type, and there's also public speaking type, which is another aspect of social anxiety, and both can be treated with CBT. And there are also some medicines, but CBT, my feeling, is the first place to go, cognitive behavioral therapy.
I love it too, Bob.
Specificity.
I agree with you. Thanks for calling us. Keep calling us. Okay?
You're very welcome.
Yes.
You know, we love the social workers and clinical psychologists calling us.
We definitely appreciate hearing from you, Bob. Thank you so much. And we're going to try to hear from one of our listeners who has had an experience with meeting somebody who is both, which is kind of
an
exciting.
Ambivert.
An ambivert, like we were talking about. We're just going to try to get that call right through here before the break here. One second.
Right. So I was saying, you know, extroverts can be sensory-oriented or feeling-oriented and intuitive. Go ahead. Do we have the caller?
Not yet. We're just getting
okay, sorry.
And the number to call is 212-757-5555. There are different types of extroverts, Kevin. That's a great point.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that after the break.
Yes, and we've got Martha on the line. Martha, can you hear us?
Hi. I can hear you perfectly.
We can hear you.
Hey, Martha.
Great. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for letting me put out my question. I was curious. Maybe it applies to me. I don't know. But I was wondering if you ever encounter people that have both characters, being the introverted and the extroverted.
Yes, it's a great question. And we call them the ambivert, like ambidextrous. You can use both hands. And, yes, are you an ambivert? Do you feel like you're both an introvert and an extrovert?
I do think so.
Tell me about it. How do you recharge yourself?
Well, I do. I think both ways. I do like to be with people. I'm an artist, and I do get a lot of charge from creating art and being with other people creating art or sharing my artistic talents.
Right.
As well as retreating myself and being quiet and on my own, you know.
Okay. And does it feel balanced? Does it feel like you want both sort of equally?
That's a tough question. Does it feel equal? I don't know, because the city is so promotes so much, you know, to a person that maybe I don't know if I lived in the country, maybe I would think differently.
Right.
I don't know. No.
Yeah, well, you have a kind of exciting advantage over, you know, true introverts and true extroverts. You actually have the tools at your disposal that if one comes along and you want to listen well, you're not going to feel anxious while listening. You'll just enjoy it. And on the other side, if someone comes along and you're in a massive group, you can be there in that group and not be totally afraid of the attention, it sounds like. It's nice hearing from an ambivert listener. And thank you for calling in, Martha. We're going to actually take our break in just a moment.
Yeah, but, let me just clear this one. So you're saying that if somebody is somebody's having a conversation one-on-one and they may feel a bit anxious, what would you say that person is more like?
Well, it wouldn't mean you're more like either one. You might, like this guy Bob who just called us, you might be suffering a little bit from anxiety, social anxiety. So your anxiety level isn't necessarily going to be always the key. The really way to think about it is, how do you refresh and recharge yourself? Mm-hmm. Do you tend to like to go away and be alone in order to recharge, or do you reach out to people and talk to recharge? We have to take our break, though, Martha. So
I do both, and I find it very rechargeable.
Wonderful.
To be with nature too.
Oh, that's a great one.
That is a great, beautiful
All
place.
Right, thank
maybe.
You so. What's that?
I was going to say maybe that is the ambivert recharge.
Nature, going out in nature.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Martha.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
And we're going to take a short break here. Here's a little bit of music, "Sharpness" by Jamie Woon. "Sharpness" here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City and on iTunes podcasts. This is Julian Joiello with Kevin O'Donohue and Ben Starr talking to you today about a very, very interesting topic, the spectrum of introversion, extroversion, and ambiversion.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Like people who use their left and right hand.
Right, exactly, exactly. And we actually have someone named Mark on the line who... Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. If I said no, I'm not there, I'd be lying to you.
You'd be lying. And we hear through the grapevine that you are an ambivert.
whatever that is. Yes, I guess so. I'm both. Okay, I'm not complaining so much about my relationship, but I'm in a relationship with living with somebody, and she's fantastic. She is, like, just wants to be everybody's friend, and I'm in retail, and I'm really, I hate being a self-proclaimed nice guy, but I'm somebody who will help somebody out, who just is friendly, hi, how are you, smiles to people, and I hate
Are you
nice.
Both extroverts?
Yeah, I guess so.
You might both be, yeah.
But here's the thing. She wants to be friends with these people, a lot of them, and I'm like, I don't want to be friends. I don't want to go out to dinner with
them. So there it is.
I find them boring.
Yeah. That's a good point. So
I don't dislike the people either.
You're watching your energy level.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess so. And then there are people I know she won't like that I really like. I like people who are fairly crude. Not that I don't like others, but
people who keep it real, right? People who are blunt. You know, I'll say this, speaking of energy level, Mark, right now, I mean, I'm perceiving you as a definite extrovert, you know, somebody who had certainly the gall, if you want to call it that, or the courage to pick up a phone and call a radio show, be on the air. And just your generally outgoing nature, I mean, you're feeling like an extrovert to me right now, but I'm not challenging you on the ambivert thing.
That's all right. I know nothing. You're probably right. But what I do is like, okay, let's have a really great conversation with you, kind of an almond to milk type conversation. Right. That's the biggest compliment I can give you
in my
book.
Okay.
And then the next night I go out to dinner with some. How about this weather we're having?
Oh.
And it's not the extreme weather. It's just a regular day.
Yeah.
And it just can't get in.
There's no stimulation there. There's no stimulation.
No. And actually, Mark, that's sort of one of the main characteristics of introverts. They really just don't like small talk. It's kind of boring. They don't want to deal with that kind of thing. They want to get right to the point, especially if they're one-on-one. So that's a very interesting observation of yours.
No. Yeah, and I guess much of it, when you do go out to eat, you get to be a certain age, you're going out to eat so much, and it's just, I'm actually making enemies by questioning, why am I paying for $70 of the bill when I had $20 worth, and I'm making friends from the other people by, I always wanted to say that, but I didn't,
Oh, so you're the one who does say things that other people hold back on.
Yeah, and it's not even me. It's like, why is Ron paying $20 when it's not so much me? Because
I
ask for a separate check with my girlfriend. My girlfriend asks for a separate check.
Oh, okay.
And we tip well, and we just don't want to be in a situation where we have to make up for everybody. So there are people, I don't like people who don't do the right thing.
That's
where I become an
I think you want to be met with where you're at. And I think if you look up extrovert, I think you more than likely fit more in there than even an ambivert.
I mean, and let's really quick before we
lose. Love your personality. I think you're a bubbly guy. Yeah. I'd go to dinner with you.
Hey, thanks. I go back to when I'm on years ago. I love what you guys are doing.
Thanks.
But when, like, if somebody comes over my house and brings nothing, I don't say anything. But when it comes down to you want to invite them again, and I just go, nah.
I think what you're trying to do is maximize whenever your social situations you're in, you want to maximize them.
Yeah.
You want to make them as real and as good and as stimulating as you want. And, you know, I think that that's a great way to approach the world, approach people, approach a social life. So you sound very well adjusted to me, and you sound like a happy guy. But we have another call, Mark, so we're going to take
thanks.
Keep calling us.
It really is a pleasure speaking to
thanks
you
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. You know, Mark mentioned something about someone comes over, they don't bring something, and then kind of feel weird about it. That was one of Armand's big things, right? Was that anytime you go anywhere for any reason, bring something, even if it's small, even if it's minor.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, as cliched as it seems, the thought that counts.
Yep.
And that's something that I took certainly from my relationship and work experience and friend experience with Armand. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're talking about extroversion versus introversion. Where do you find yourself on that spectrum?
And I wonder for Mark, when he's wondering if he's an extrovert and introvert, I think I would guess that the way he recharges is in social situations. In social situations with people.
People he likes.
Right? People he likes, people who bring gifts, those kinds of people, but people nonetheless.
Not the people that his wife puts in front of him, necessarily.
And it's important, I mean, with extroverts, that they're not necessarily just blabbermouths or people who just want to talk
and talk. No.
They want connection. Because that's where the stimulation is. It's not just in talking endlessly. And Mark sounds like somebody who really likes people who engage with him.
Right.
So I think extroversion is not just these big personalities who have no filters. Extroversion is people recharging by actually trying to connect with other people. And Mark sounds to me like a maximizer. He likes to maximize his engagement with people. So that's a typical extrovert. I'm going to read some of these qualities of the extrovert. They social situations excite and energize them. They usually initiate and engage in conversations. They can talk about almost anything with anyone. They don't mind others paying full attention to them. So all eyes are on me.
Right.
And meeting new people doesn't faze them. That's a broad stroke of extroverts.
Right, exactly. And we've got Steve on the line. Steve, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Pretty good.
So what are you in the spectrum?
I think I'm the
ambivert.
I think I'm an ambivert, but I think I have a lot of extreme kind of deviations in this.
Go ahead.
Because I'm a professionally social person because I'm a consultant. So I have to go out and find things and meet people and
Does that drain you?
No, I find that exhilarating. Okay,
fantastic.
I enjoy building up that energy. But in the same hand, okay, or on the other side of that, when I crash, I'm really tired of people.
Mm.
You know, and when I run into personalities that are just so, oh my God, just they have
extreme.
Issues that
Steve.
I just don't.
Steve, extreme.
Okay.
Oh, we're losing you for a second there, but I totally feel you. I mean, that's actually just like how I am too. I'm an extrovert for sure, but there's moments when it's just like I've been doing this for 12 hours today. I am dead, and this person is just not the kind of person I want to spend my time with right now. So there's definitely that sort of place where you say, okay, I actually do need to retreat a little bit and recharge on my own of that feeling. And that's sort of what puts you in that ambivert place, isn't it?
Well, but the other side again for me, okay, is that I have to shut all the way down and get away from everyone to regenerate.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Because after I get too much of that, the thing that I really can't stand, it just sits on me like luggage, and I have to like really just get away from everybody, and I find that really hard to do.
I totally get what you're saying. I'm going to read to you some of the ambivert qualities. They often wonder whether they need time alone or external stimulation. Like, are you caught in between, like, I can keep going with this, or I need to get alone, I need to get out of here, I need to get away from these people? Do you often find yourself in that situation?
Yeah, I do have the struggle, yes.
Right. So you can keep going, you can keep engaging, but you're also aware that I might need to be alone, I might need to get away. So that's one quality of an ambivert. And how about small talk? How are you with small talk?
I'll do it to get to the bigger things only briefly. Okay, but if it stays on that level, I'm out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think extroverts can handle small talk, but ambiverts really find small talk demeaning and insincere. So you might well be. And one thing that I would say that you wouldn't be an introvert necessarily is because introverts are always aware of their energy drains. And if you can really go for a long period of time, like 10 hours with people consulting, you tend to be more on the extrovert spectrum. But anyway, it's all good and it all works and it's great for you to be aware of this. We're going to take another call, Steve, so we thank you for calling.
Okay, you're
welcome. Thank you so much for sharing with us today, Stephen. It's cool. We're getting a lot of calls from ambiverts or people who feel – it seems to be that a lot of the ambiverts that are calling in or the people who feel that they are tend to be on the extroverted side but have sort of piece of themselves. They say, okay, you know what? I don't really like small talks. There are times, there are people I don't want to hang out with. There are social situations I don't really want to be part of. And so it's been interesting, and we're sort of exploring this idea because ambiversion is not something that's talked about very often.
Yeah, and very interesting. Like Mark said, it's not – the ambivert is fine with new people. They're fine socializing.
Okay.
But they do prefer to do it with friends. They do prefer to socialize in their circles, their existing circles.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than reaching out, meeting new people. So I think that's interesting. And as far as what we just heard from Steve, I think many of us can relate to that. I think sometimes socially, you know, I think sometimes we get drained and we just want to hole up at home with a nice warm bowl of oatmeal or soup or something
right.
and a comfy blanket and just kind of shut the world out. I think that's something a lot of people can relate to.
I want to mention a title because there was a famous bestseller about 2 years ago called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. And I think to piggyback on your point, Ben, is that, yes, in New York we're all called upon to go long distance with social interactions and not stop and keep going, and then there is this crash effect. So it's hard to know, am I an introvert or an extrovert? You might totally enjoy being with people up to a point, and then you hear this voice saying, I have to stop, I have to withdraw, I have to get away. So, this book called Quiet is really a great insight into the introvert experience as opposed to extroverts.
Very interesting. We've got Amanda on the line. Amanda, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hey, hello. Amanda. Thank you for calling in.
How are you guys?
We're great.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I was listening to the whole conversation, and I was, like, kind of debating within myself, like, am I an ambivert or more extroverted? Because I'm an actress. So,
okay.
Like, a part of...
Well, hey there. How's it going? I'm an actor.
You know Julian's an actor, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Amanda. Sorry.
No, sorry. But, I was saying, like, you know, you have to kind of make yourself present and be out there and network and mingle. But, like, within myself, it's also sometimes one of the hardest things to, like, walk up and talk to people. So I feel like sometimes I find myself on the spectrum but more introverted depending on the social situation.
Right.
So, like, once I get to know somebody, I can kind of open up and be myself and, like, be a little bit more characteristic. Or even sometimes, depending on a character that I'm reading for, they might have a personality that doesn't match who I am, so I have to kind of tap into, like, the extrovert to play that person.
Mm. That's very interesting. You know, actually, coming from an acting background, I mean, I actually, I've met plenty and plenty of actors who are introverts. And it's their style tends to work a lot more for, like, film and TV stuff. They're much, much more to themselves. And they can be kind of have this intensity that's exciting to watch on screen. And I feel like most of the time, though, the theatrical actors that I run into tend to be extroverts. And it's interesting you talk about that because there's a lot of pressure to be an extrovert as an actor. There's like a pressure and training to become one. Mm. And a lot of the time, I mean, I went through the conservatory program at NYU and it feels almost like they're training you to be charismatic, training you to be out there and want to meet people and be in those social situations. Because it does tend to happen
to
that way.
To be big on the stage, yeah.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And especially with theater, I mean, it's all about being big. You can't not be big. And if you're not,
then,
it's not heard, you know what I mean, at all on the stage.
I was going to ask, do you envy other actors or actresses that might be more extroverted than you?
Sometimes I do because I see them taking the initiative that I want to take, but sometimes feel uncomfortable like making that initial jump unless someone says something to me first.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that I struggle with that, like trying to make the first step. If someone comes up to me, I'm okay.
Yeah,
but like me actually putting myself out there is harder.
That could be entirely separate from introversion and extroversion. That could just be a little bit of shyness, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe, because I've never thought of myself as a shy person.
Right.
Maybe to a degree.
We did a program on shyness just a couple
Amanda,
weeks ago.
Amanda, I think you're shy. I really do.
Isn't that the conundrum being in, being?
I get a sense of you as a shy person. I really do.
Well, we know she also has a lot of boldness to come in and call
she
us
really
today
does.
Too.
She
and
does.
And also being an actress, it's a crazy world. There's a conundrum happening. There's a contradiction happening in you choosing to be an actress and also having this side to you too. But it's really exciting. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
I have another question I want to ask her. Amanda, do you have to like change your body posture when you go audition for a role? Do you like sort of
body?
Yeah. Do you firm? Yeah. Do you breathe deeply or firm yourself up or change the way you were sitting and things like that in order to get a part?
Yeah, I do. I do some like preparation exercises. So like I breathe. I do like you know linguistic exercises to kind of get my.
Right,
my speech in motion and
aside from
like the general nerves and stuff like that, but yeah sometimes.
Okay, right. We have another call, but listen, check out our shyness show. I think the trick and the secret of you is that there's a shy person.
There could just be a little bit, just a little bit,
and that's a beautiful thing.
Just a little bit. Okay,
that's a great thing.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Amanda.
All right, bye bye.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. And we've got one more caller that's going to come in here. We're just reaching the end of our program, but we've got Mary Jo. And we're about to get her on the line here. And we're talking about introversion, extroversion, and ambiversion.
I do want to say, again, parents of shy children, and if you're shy yourself, there are things you can do to try and, you know, overcome this shyness. One is obviously be available to other people. Be around other people. Another is to, yes, change your body posture. If you'd be amazed if, you know, a smile on your face can invite people to come over and speak with you. If you're shy, that's like a great, great tool.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we have a caller.
And we have Mary Jo here on the line. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Hi,
hey
Ben. Hi, Kevin.
Hey,
Mary Jo.
How's it going?
Good. You know, listening to your program, I was thinking about my son. I have a 24-year-old son who just went away to college for the first year. He had gone to community college for 2 years, and he's definitely an introvert.
Yeah.
And he's going to a huge, huge college. And the gentleman that called earlier that talked about social anxiety,
yeah.
I never put it together, but I think not only is my son introverted, but he's got social anxiety after listening to this gentleman.
Yeah.
Any suggestions on, I don't know.
Yes. I mean, first of all,
yeah,
I mean, the biggest characteristic of phobia is that you avoid the situation that's going to bring out the anxiety. So if he's got social anxiety, he's probably doing a lot of avoiding behaviors. You might ask him about that. What types of places is he avoiding? Because it only gets worse if it doesn't get treated. Cognitive behavioral therapy is a great thing. So you can, with cognitive behavioral, you can see what situations more than others are causing him to have stress, and so that's the first part, and then the second part is what is he telling himself about being in these awkward situations, these anxious situations. So cognitive behavioral work is very good work because it puts the power in the person to look at their own thoughts and look at this, what we call a schema, what beliefs he has about himself that he's telling himself. And, of course, another is he needs to have one person, probably every university has a counseling center. He should go and really nip this in the bud. He's going from 3 years in a community college where he had the retreat of being at home, and now he's away in a foreign, alien environment, and not to be able to express yourself and speak your thoughts only gets worse. So it's just the beginning of the school term. It's time for him now to find a counselor at the university. What do you think of that?
Yeah,
about that?
No, I tried to get him into therapy a long time ago, but you know, he was too young to really get in touch with his feelings and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And just as an example, he had to get something for class, and he needed to go to a store, which was miles and miles and miles away from the university.
Uh-huh.
And I told him to get a bus schedule, you know, to take the bus because it's, you know, very accessible. He walked rather than getting a bus schedule using the bus line for the first time. He walked those miles to get his supplies because I think it's fear-based. I know it's fear-based.
Wow, that's a phobia. There it is. You know, you can tell him to contact me at Kevin at the Positive Mind. I can do a brief thing with him, and maybe he can use it for the school term. Because this is something, if he's avoiding even just seeing people, it's not like he even has to speak to them, that he's really in the trenches of a phobia here. So, So that's all I can recommend to you for today, Mary Jo. You're always welcome.
It's been very helpful.
Yeah. Thank you. Glad to be of help.
Thank you so much for calling in.
You also might look up that book that Rob mentioned. I believe it was called Dying of Embarrassment.
Yeah, I heard.
What's your son's name?
Michael.
Michael. Michael, we're all cheering you here. You can do it. All right? Good luck in school, and really good luck in reaching out and making contact with people. Thanks for calling,
Thanks
Mary Jo.
Thanks so much. Okay,
you
bye.
Bet. Bye-bye.
And any of you can contact us here at positivemind@wbai.org. You can reach Kevin directly, kevin@thepositivemind.com. And you can reach us here at the Positive Mind Center at 212-757-4488. That's our office line when we're not on the air. But we do want to thank everyone who called in today. We had Bob, we had Mark, Steve, Amanda, we had Mary Jo, and we had someone else in there, too.
We had Martha, Amanda, Martha, Mary Jo,
right.
Steve,
yeah,
and Bob.
Well, that was everybody, and everyone for listening, for tuning in today.
And help that shy child of yours. Find out if he's shy early in the semester. Now's the time to check in and see how he's doing, or she is doing. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
You kind of scared yourself, you turn and run. But if you have a change of heart, Ricky, don't lose that number. You don't want to call nobody else. Send it off in a letter to yourself. It's the only one you want. You might use it if you feel better when you get home. I have a friend in town, he's heard your name. Send it.